afternoon. Hello. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Andy here. I think we got Amanda on the line, although I can't hear her, but I think she's here. How's everybody doing? This is a Friday show. It is July 29th, 2022. And we are here to present another afternoon of interesting and fun discussion. It's actually 5 o'clock right now in Monterrey, Mexico, where Amanda was living. But now she's back in the UK. And I am here in our Los Angeles studios. Amanda is about 2 hours outside of London, I think it is. And let me see. I think she's coming back on now. Let's see if I can get her. Hello there.
Hello?
There she is. Got you. Yeah, I hear you now. Yeah, I saw you on there before, and I was looking for you and looking for you. And
I literally I was chatting away, and it's like, oh, I could hear by you your response that you couldn't hear me. It's like, huh.
Yeah, I couldn't hear you. Yeah. So it's 11 p.m. where you are. It's 3 p.m. in the afternoon here in Los Angeles. And on the East Coast of New York, it is 6 o'clock in the evening. Hey, I guess people are headed out for the weekend and doing what they're going to do on the East Coast there for this last weekend in July. The summer is kind of like half over. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
I know.
Where's it going? You know, how's it going?
I don't understand. Am I missing something? Like, have I been like in a time warp?
I feel the same way. You know, I'm like, man, and I got to say, I did get out earlier in the summer. I was in the Jersey Shore and down here spent some time beach time in here in Southern California, and I was in Philly for a little while there and doing some Charleston and doing some traveling and head out again in August for a little bit here. So I'm determined. You know, summers go by and September rolls around, and here in Southern California, it doesn't, weather-wise, it's pretty much the same year-round. It does get cooler in the winter months, but still it's beautiful out and very tolerable. It's not where I come from, and I guess also where you are in the UK, in those winter times, you get the kind of ugly, gray, damp, cool.
Oh, quite often.
Bone chilling. And here in California, you don't get that. It can go down to 50 degrees where I am at night, sometimes a little cooler. Yeah. 60, I've got my ski jacket on once it goes below 60.
I imagine, actually, because you're not used to it being like that quite often, are you? Like, I mean, majority of the year is warmer for you, but
It is. Yeah. Average, I would say average is about 82, 75 to 82 summer. So if you look at the summer months where it can hit 90, I mean, heck, in a few days where it can hit 95, 100, just, for a day or two here and there. But then you look at the winter and you average it all out. And it's probably, I can probably Google it, but I bet the average temperature is probably right around mid to high 70s year round average, right in there.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad at all.
We got to get you over here.
We go right down to 50s, 40s and 50s, It's like,
that's not bad.
What's going on?
That's during the day, right? That's during the day.
Yeah, but then when it hits the nighttime, it's like when it starts to get cooler in the evening and then you go into night, it's like, oh my God, I just want some sun.
Let me ask you, what is the name of the town where you're at? The same town where Mark Lester's Charlton Clinic is. Yeah.
We say Cheltenham. 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 That's how we pronounce it. But,
Cheltenham.
Of course, how it's written, and quite often people say how it's written, is Cheltenham. And I've heard people like in the US with Birmingham, because you've got Birmingham over there.
Right.
We say ham like hum. So Birmingham.
Hum.
Cheltenham. Yeah.
Cheltenham. I would say Charlton ham and cheese, a little bit of mayo on the side.
You're right. Sounds good, actually. Serve it up, Andy. I'm ready for it.
It's funny. I got to figure out how to turn this off on our studio screens here. It is Friday. We have, it just turned off. And I got to figure out how to work this, but I get the text transcription of what the computer hears or what you say. And I got to read them to you because sometimes it just pops up out of nowhere and it takes what you and I say. Here it is, on right now.
Oh, yeah.
And right now it says, oh, yes, do it.
Yes.
Exclamation point. Yes. So here's what it says. I'll read it. It says, oh, exclamation point. Yes, do it. Yes. That's what it says. I'm reading that.
Yeah,
I'll take a picture of it. And I'm not kidding. I'll take a picture and send it to you. Yeah, I'm playing along here. Can you say
that? Oh, geez. I'm going to be careful of what I say.
Oh, geez. Got to be careful what I say. I'm just reading what it says. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But say okay. Excellent. And now the exclamation point just came up. It must be really exclamation.
Oh my goodness. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, this is a lot of fun. Oh, excuse me. For the next hour, I'm just going to repeat everything you said.
Excellent. Okay.
Excellent. Okay. So.
No, I'm like really nervous as to what to say because actually the transcript would be hilarious, wouldn't it? You know, if we
I wish there was a way to print it out. I could send it to you.
I know.
So not really nervous.
Hilarious. The transcripts of the Annie and Amanda show.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yes. Oh.
That'd be a writer's dream, wouldn't it? Can you imagine people would be like, because I know with authors and stuff, everything is inspiration to them. I know you sit at a cafe or they go out with friends or whatever, they're secretly eavesdropping people's conversations for ideas for books. So can you imagine if they saw our transcripts?
It would be something, because this transcript now says the transcripts are the only demandership not being the righteous dream when Nick the imagined people would be like, because I know with authors, it just went off.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, it's very, very good, isn't it? Yeah, anyway. I got to
how do
I turn that off? I got to figure this out. Anyway. So how you doing, kiddo? How's it going over there?
I'm super duper, Mr. Gimbal. How about yourself, lovely?
Going well. Following the news here, you know, figuring out what we're going to talk about, what there is to talk about show to show. And one thing that came up is you back in the 70s, we had here in this country the Watergate scandal with President Nixon at the time, who some of his campaign staffers decided, even though there was no chance of McGovern winning that election, McGovern was a Democrat candidate running against Nixon at the time, they decided they were going to break into the Watergate building there in Washington and break into the Democratic office headquarters and steal some files and see what they're doing. Like, they really needed to do that. And then Nixon covered it up with his henchmen, with his advisors, and of course he had to resign. All right, so Nixon, unbeknown to most of his associates and aides, was recording every single phone conversation he had. Nixon was recording.
Right.
You talk to President Nixon, you don't know, but he's recording your conversation. And so the tapes came out. You know, as a matter of fact, you can go on the internet and listen to them. Listen to the Nixon Watergate tapes. I mean, they're fascinating. And of course, you know, and we've had, of course, Mr. Nixon on our show several times to comment about what we, you know what we do.
He's either drinking too much or he's taking some pills.
No.
Well.
I mean, we're, yeah.
You know, he'd probably go out and screw off on that.
Well,
hey,
anyway.
Does this transcript pick up the recordings as well? Or just what we say?
I wonder. It hasn't. It's not. It's off right now. I don't know what kicks it on and what kicks it off. And I've got Windows. I have a Windows system. It's a function of Windows or something. But it's actually annoying. But it does come up.
oh my goodness. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You've got to be awfully careful.
You do. You know. You really. I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think we...
That view is the right one.
Thank you. We agree, Mr. Nixon. So anyway,
excellent.
My point being, Nixon's secretary, Evelyn Wood, was... Wait,
yeah.
Evelyn... Not Evelyn Wood. Evelyn Wood's a speed reading course, right? Evelyn... Evelyn Wood had the speed reading course. What's the secretary?
Oh, excellent.
Who was... oh, my God. Not Evelyn. What's her name? Evelyn... let me look it up here real quick. Nixon's secretary.
Evelyn, what is your last name?
Evelyn Lincoln?
Oh.
No, she was the presidential secretary of John F. Kennedy, interestingly enough.
Huh.
Watergate tapes, 18.5 missing gap, and Nixon's secretary. Here we go. Rosemary Woods, not Evelyn Wood, Rosemary Wood. Rosemary Wood, see, I found it. Rosemary Wood was Nixon's secretary, and for some strange reason, nobody, it was a big fuss, big, big deal. About 18 and a half minute gap in those tapes I told you about that went suddenly, that got somehow accidentally erased. Right? Okay.
Right.
So how does that parlay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, how does that parlay into what I was about to say a minute ago? Because during the insurrection, January 6th, Vice President Pence, Secret Service agents were so worried and concerned about this violent mob invading the Capitol building where they were protecting the vice president, also where the senators and congresspeople were who were, you know, ratifying the electoral vote count. They were so worried that they were texting and calling their homes saying goodbye to their loved ones and their family, thinking that they're not going to make it out of there that day.
They're
not going to make it out. In addition to that, Vice President Pence was calling all of the shots that day. Nixon. what's his name? Trump.
Nixon.
Trump. Trump was joyfully watching his television, eating a bowl of soup or whatever, and why his aides told him to do something about it. Do something right now. Go 60 feet away and get on the press room and make an announcement. Get everybody out of the Capitol. And he didn't. He didn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. So Pence is there calling the National Guard. Pence is calling the additional police report, the police force. Pence is calling all the shots that day to protect himself, members of Congress and the Senate, and getting the people out of there. That was all being orchestrated by the Vice President of the United States, not by the President of the United States.
Right.
In the interim, there was a bunch of text messages of them sent to the Secret Service, back and forth between the Secret Service and perhaps back and forth between the Office of the President and the Secret Service, that are missing. And when I say missing, they were deleted despite orders that day. Do not delete any messages. And they were in the midst of changing systems. I mean, how the whole communication system in the Secret Service works. They're in the midst of upgrading everything, so they're worried about everything getting lost. But that was being delayed.
Right.
They said, everybody, do not delete your text messages of this day. And that was an order that came from the top. Well, guess what?
Right. What?
They're all
no.
Missing. Yeah, they're all gone. So, and this was, you know, just determined just recently, not long ago. But the Department of Homeland Security just reported that months earlier than previously known, they knew that these text messages were missing. And we're talking about hundreds of back and forths that are gone.
Right. Okay.
So this thing is getting scarier and scarier and scarier and deeper
is,
and deeper.
It?
And I think some heads are going to roll eventually. And also, Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States of America, finally came out after so many were saying, well, how come, you know, we're hearing so much from the House Investigative Committee, the hearings, which have revealed so much damning information regarding the president. I mean, so much evidence has been revealed and depicted, displayed. His own aides, his own Republican aides, gave testimony that severely implicate him in this whole deal. And the question was, well, what's happening with the Department of DOJ, Department of Justice? What's happening to the DOJ here? What are they doing? Are they getting involved? And yes, they are behind the scenes. As a matter of fact, they have information behind the scenes that the Congressional Committee doesn't even have. Right. So what finally happened is Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States of America, finally came out during an interview and said nobody's above the law. And anybody who was involved in this, regardless of who they were, what they do, I mean, I'm summarizing what he said, will be indicted.
Right.
So I think it's a matter of time before the very first time in American history that a former president of the United States of America is, in fact, indicted.
It's, I can't see any way of him escaping this. I mean, with the way things are getting complicated now and more evidence is coming to the surface, like you said, it's scary what's coming to the surface.
Yeah.
I can't see how he could escape this now.
I don't either. I don't either.
I don't know. Wow. It's certainly interesting times, Andy. That much we know.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Who can honestly put their hand on their heart and say, you know, you didn't... I mean, we expected to live through this because we didn't, right? I mean, I was having this conversation with my mother the other day, my dear, sweet old mother. And we were just, you know, generalizing on everything that's going on in the world. And she said, who would have thought that we would have lived through a pandemic and all the craziness that's been going on with wars and governments and so on. I know, right? Yes, this is a conversation I was having with Andy. And it is. We can honestly say that we've lived through this time in years to come and say, wow. I sit and generalize sometimes. I wonder what the future's going to look like. I think everybody does. But what I don't like, actually, is the amount of abuse that Biden is getting for all the wonderful changes that he's making. I mean, from this side of things, from over here, all the way up here, up upon you, I can't say we, that's very arrogant of me to do that and unfair, because I'm sure multiple people here will feel different, but there's going to be quite a few who feel the same as me, that Biden is doing a great job. And we have to lose those attachments and personal kind of feelings we have, because when we look at things on the surface, the job he's doing is absolutely wonderful. The changes he's incorporated, the people he's trying to support, I think it's outstanding. And again, I had this conversation with my mother about Boris Johnson. I think it's unfair the way he's been treated. Admittedly, he's lacked responsibility in some areas. But who walks into office and then has a pandemic land right on their doorstep? And it's the same with every person leading every country in this world. The whole world experienced the same thing at the same time. Who expected a pandemic to land on them? And then they've got to make all those decisions that is going to affect everybody. And it's just, it's a crazy position to be in. And he's just had one issue after the other. He tried to deliver Brexit when, you know, there was major conflict in the UK about that. Society was turning itself on each other and him for the, you know, the fact that he saw it through for everybody. He promised those who voted to come out of Europe, I'm going to do this for you, and he saw it through. I admire him for it. So it seems that, you know, Boris, he's had the rough end of the stick. He's come out of this not so good. And Biden, who's trying his best to make all these wonderful changes, they're just, there's no appreciation for what actually people go through to...
I agree with you, and we're seeing, you know, like, you know, the we're going to get an economic report here soon on to see if we had what we're looking like over the past two quarters. If we're, you know, if we're seeing two quarters of reduced economic output, it might indicate a mild recession that we're in. We don't know that yet. The economy, we discussed the last show, the interest rates went up another 0.75 for the second time in 8 months, and there's supposedly in the fall there's going to be another hike. And we talked about the science behind that in the last show about how that affects the economy and hopefully curbs down spending, and then you cut down demand, and then prices come down to entice people to buy, to continue to buy, and then, you know, things kind of level out at some sort of balance point down the pike here. But Biden, you know, as you just made very clear, there the issues that Biden and also Boris Badenov there was facing were worldwide issues. They weren't local. They weren't regional and local issues. They weren't just the countries involved and the entire world. And you know, we look at Russia and Ukraine. Now we're also looking at Sudan and Russia illegally mining gold to fund the Russian war in Sudan, which is another thing we got to look carefully into. Sudan law, the Russians are there against the country of Sudan, and we'll find out what happens. That we'll follow that up next week on a continuing story here. But regardless, Biden, you can't point a finger to Joe Biden and say this guy's doing a horrible job, because the issues that we have here in America are being felt around the world. And,
yeah.
And what really bothers me, when you speak to some folks who are, let's say, high asset sales, jet airplanes, yachts, luxury vacation homes, blah, blah, blah. And you hear them, not this isn't, you know, global, but it's you hear it more than once, that's for darn sure, that, well, if, you know, we get Biden out of office, you know, we put a Republican, things will just bounce back. We'll be good. But that's not how it works. You know, the president doesn't go to the White House and wave a wand and dictate how the economy is going to go. That's not how it works at all. Biden has nothing to do with the economy. What do you expect him to do? You know, executive orders.
Exactly.
You know, what folks who say, oh, he's horrible. You know, I call it his respect level, his popularity is very low. You know, very low. But I would like to hear from anybody who says he's doing a miserable job. Tell me one thing that he specifically did that is miserable. And what would you do if you were in his shoes to correct that? What do you expect him to do? Do you have an answer?
Exactly.
Do you have an answer? What is the answer? And if you do, hey, listen, listeners, call our show, 515-605-9888, if you're tuned in right now. Let us know what you would do. What is your summation of the economy, of your life, of how things are going in the United States and maybe elsewhere? And what would you personally do to remedy it, to turn things around? What's the answer? Who knows the answer here?
I would like to hear that, actually, because I think so many of us are so quick to judge. Putting politics aside, this goes for absolutely everything, every subject, every person. We all have that built in us to judge people. We do. We do it day in, day out with everything, not just people, objects, situations, TV, movies, whatever it is. We judge it because that's our natural makeup. However, never do we stop and think, I wonder how I would feel in that person's shoes. I wonder what situation arrived on their doorstep that challenged them in that moment and said, okay, I've got to take this direction, or I'm going to take this direction. Because it's so easy for us to say, oh, yeah, well, I would do this. Yes, you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what the situation presented at the time that person made the decision. You know, what options it gave them and how the effects of the choices that they could make. For example, if they go down the route that somebody says, I would do this, maybe I'm not explaining it very well, but for example, if Biden's given three choices and he's chosen one that everybody dislikes and everybody else is saying, oh no, I would have chosen this one. Okay, explain why you would have chosen that one. And obviously Biden's got his own reasons for choosing what he's chosen, because maybe the other options showed a greater loss or actions from the choices that can be made.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to be on that outside of government and dictating what we would do is one thing. And we do that because we're passionate. We want to see change for ourselves and for other people. We want things to go in a great direction for everybody. But our leaders have to make very, very important choices that there are other complications when making those choices. They can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this for everybody, because then that's going to implicate something else and maybe cause problems in other areas. It's like trying to make a computer work. If you put in the wrong code in a software, the program itself is not going to function properly. It's going to come up with all sorts of errors. You're going to lose your work, blah, blah, blah. It's the same concept for trying to run a country. You know,
You're very well said. You're so right. You're right. Do you have any chance to know what is Boris doing now? Boris, your former.
He's coming over next week for a cup of tea.
I thought so. I want to see if we can get. You think he'd come on the show?
Oh, I'd love to get him on the show.
Wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great? I see if I can contact Dear Old Johnson and see if he would.
Yeah, you do that and we're starting to get some political figures on our show now, as we've said earlier. Congressman, Representative from Maryland, Jamie Raskin, is coming on our show probably the end of this month or early September to talk about the congressional investigation, his vision, his efforts, what's going on in Washington, and, you know, whatever we he cares to talk about, but it's going to be a great discussion. And it would be great if we can reach out to Boris Johnson. I'm calling Boris Badenoff to get him on the show. It's interesting because our show is so it's not a threatening environment. It's a relaxed conversation. You know, we talk about whatever they want to talk about and have some fun with it, and you know, express issues of concern and try to solve the problems of the world in a non-threatening, non-combative way. And I think it makes a very comfortable environment overall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm pretty excited about Jamie coming on the show. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. And, when I think back to how I never used to be interested in politics, it's because, I'm so lost in what I was doing and what I wanted to do in my life and other areas I just had more attention to, you know, especially the UK government felt like it was letting everybody down here.
Speaking of other things you're doing in your life and other things going on, other interests, what a great segue into what we're about to do. Wednesday, we talked about your music career and some songs that you produce, and I've got one queued up here, and I think we should play it.
Really?
It's called Highway to Heaven. It's Amanda Love, my co-host on the show. What a composition this is, and I want everybody to take a listen to this tune. Here we go on the Andy and Amanda Show. This is Amanda Love, Highway to Heaven.
So weird hearing myself back like that. Just bizarre.
And that's all you. I mean, what a great, great, great song. And that's Aww. All you, right? That is all
yes.
you? That, the bass, well, the guitars, think, the keyboards, the drums.
I would love to say it's all me. The replication of guitars and drums and everything, again, is all done through my keyboard, the instruments, the virtual instruments in my door. And, I played away until I could create what sounded like a natural sounding guitar,
you know,
whatever.
The actual instruments are contained or samples, right? But the actual composition, how you compose them, how you resolve one chord figure to the next chord figure, that's all you're playing. That's all you're doing. It's all you're composing. And putting the bass, putting the guitars, although they're sampled and whatever, you're dictating what goes where and how that whole thing's put together. I just think it's incredible.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That song should be released. I mean, that should go to a, that song should be released. That's a very, very well put together tune. I'm serious. Really, really
thank
good.
Thank you so much.
We have a caller. First time ever. Looks like a caller coming in here. It's like blinking on and off here. It's crazy. I think this is the first time we've actually ever had somebody calling from a hot air balloon over Arkansas.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Interesting.
Let's see if we get them on here. They're on their cell phone, listening to our show on a cell phone and a hot air balloon in central Arkansas. Let's see if we can get them on here. The emergency call in here. I'm clicking the button here to see if they can get us. Hello, caller. Caller, you're on the line in the hot air balloon. You're here. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How you doing?
Hey.
What
are you doing flying around the hot air balloon?
Hey, man, I'm just chilling, man. I'm on the Andy and Amanda Show air balloon.
Excellent.
What's up, guys? How you doing? It's Friday, guys.
It's Friday. We just heard Highway to Heaven, Amanda Love's composition, and just kind of blown away by it again.
I was listening to it, man.
What do you think?
It's a great song. I think it's a great song. I think you should either release it or sell it to somebody.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to. I would love to do that. It's probably one of the two songs that I get so much feedback on about. People say, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it's really touched me personally. I would love to have this playing at my funeral because, you know, it's the way it says that Highway to Heaven. I guess they picked up the word heaven and thought it's the perfect way to say goodbye to somebody. And I guess that's quite a personal and touching thing, isn't it, to have a song, your song, played at someone's funeral when there's millions of songs like from major artists that they could choose, and they say your song is the one I want to have, you know, my family say goodbye to me. That's just like, that was really touching. So
what is the other song called?
It's called This Love.
Actually, I want to let everybody know I'm driving right now. So, you know, to all the callers and fans, I'm driving.
You're not in a hot air balloon in Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm driving it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
For some reason, I don't know why the fire is going out.
Oh, crap. Well, you don't want it to go out too much. We'll be on the floor in a minute. Just make sure no birds hit you in the head.
I'm still blowing it, so you know, so I can keep afloat with my, you know, breath and everything. So my breath is hot.
Oh, fantastic! The cigars haven't damaged your lungs too much. You can still blow into that air balloon.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my goodness.
So what's good up, guys?
It's Friday. It's Friday. We have coming to Huntington Beach, where I will be on Sunday, the national surfboard surfing championship in Huntington Beach, California, the 31st of July. It's coming
awesome.
Up Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, that is
we
so cool.
We just pictures. We got to put it up on the media, show the listeners, you know, some of those pictures that you're going to send us so everybody can see.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And
I'm looking forward to that.
The the Commonwealth Games
yeah.
have got off to a great start. We've got a few golds, I think, and silver, bronze. Multiple people are doing very well for our country. And, yeah, it's. I tell you what, the opening ceremony was pretty incredible. They had this
yes.
gigantic, like, metal ball, mechanical ball. It was very impressive. And, like, one of the athletes was approaching it in this almost, I know you said operatic, anything close. I can't even find the word right now. But anyway, she was approaching this ball, and it looked very poetic, beautiful, the way it was done. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if anybody can see the playback on YouTube or something, check it out. It's really beautiful and wonderful. And the speeches that were given at the beginning, fantastic. So, yeah, exciting.
Oh, you know something?
Some of the events. Yeah.
July 30th is
yep.
tomorrow, right?
Yes.
It is.
Then tomorrow is the Open Surfing, the 2022 U.S. Open of Surfing in Huntington Beach. It's the 30th, not the 31st. I stand corrected. There's got a correction here. And it's the 30th in Huntington Beach, if you're into surfing at all. And I don't know if it's going to be televised. It's the, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big surfing deal for, you know.
Are you going to go check it out?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I want to head down. I thought it was Can I surf?
Do some waves, man.
I am one of the few people, not only can I surf, but I actually do headstands while I'm surfing. And
that's awesome.
And so I'm one of the few people.
I'm one of the few people
that can do cartwheels on the surfboard while I'm surfing.
Oh, so you're telling me you can be on the surfboard, standing on one hand and eating a fish sandwich at the same time?
Yeah.
You are the best, dude. You making hit that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people gather at the beaches to see what I do.
Awesome.
I can't wait to see that.
They sit and they wait and they wait. And they wait, and they wait.
With his fish sandwiches strapped to his waist with a fanny pack.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I didn't even know that existed, actually, the surf event.
Yeah.
That's news to me.
It's right up there with the lawn mowing championships.
What?
Yep. I definitely would that. I would not win that one.
Oh, hell no. I'm going to go for the lawnmower. I mean,
yeah, it's right up there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Excellent.
But, yeah, it's the U.S. Open of Surfing. It's the world's largest surf competition, the largest one in the world. And the event includes world-class surfing and product demos and samples of, you know, various industry brands and surfing industry. It's free, and it's a very large event, and so get there early. If you're with the Huntington Beach Pier, those of you in Southern California, you can see it from the pier. You can walk to the event each day by staying at you know, one of the hotels or Airbnbs down there, whatever. If you're going to drive, watch your parking, get there early. But anyway, it's a huge, huge event. And it starts it begins August 30th and goes through August 7th. So it's all week long. That's going to be incredible down there. It's going to be really, really cool. So Huntington Beach, California. And there's also live music and, you know, a lot of fun things. And I got to tell you, I love Southern California. Now, you can say what you want. You can say about traffic and people in L.A., whatever. I love Southern California. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place to exist and live and network and go out and just absolutely the best. And it's right here. It's right here. You know, you don't have to travel. You know, I mean, you can get, you know, if you live anywhere in the country, you can come to California, you know, fly into LAX or Burbank or wherever. In, you know, airfares are crazy these days, but normally and see all the state, what the state has to offer. It's just incredible. And I guess that's, you know, so many people move in. There have been a lot of people leaving because of the expense of living here. And people are going to Texas and Utah. And I've heard that. I don't know what the numbers are really. But I know even some big businesses are pulling out because of the tax structures here. But just as a guy, you know, middle class guy, middle class family, blah, blah, blah. you know, not independently wealthy by any means, but I can afford to make things happen here and live and enjoy all that California has to offer. And you know what they also say, you get what you pay for. You know, you get what you pay
definitely.
For.
Definitely. That's very true, Andy. That's very true. Very true. Get what you pay for.
Yeah, you know, I'm less than an hour to, you know, Huntington Beach. You know, I go there. I can go to Laguna Beach. I can go to Manhattan Beach, Santa Monica, Marina Del Rey, Venice Beach, the mountains, you know, Malibu. San Diego's within a couple hours south. That's a really great city to hang out in. San Francisco's about 5.5-6 hours up north if you want to go to Big Sur, Yosemite, the Redwoods, Sequoias, skiing, surfing, swimming, hiking, you know, nature, sea lions, forests. I mean, it's just incredible. And also culture, opera, symphony, concerts. I mean, museums, art museums, cultural museums. It's I guess I'll go to work for the Chamber of Commerce in California. No, but I'm just saying that folks, if you want to enjoy a nice weekend away from wherever you are, you know, if you want to come to California for a long weekend, maybe 3 or 4 days, and just start exploring what this incredible geography has to offer, you owe it to yourself to put it on your at least your bucket list, if nothing else.
Yeah. Or stay over at Andy's house.
Just come stay here. We're opening up. You know, we're trying to raise some money for the Andy and Amanda show, so I'm opening up my living room couch.
Couch surfing. Yeah, that's a thing,
special
isn't
today,
it?
Yes.
People invite other people to literally come and sleep on the couch, and then they go and do the same at their house, and so they can experience different towns and countries, and that's a big thing, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
I got invited once. I was just like, whoa, okay. Would love to, but I can't right now. It was an interesting offer, and I'm trying to remember the country that the person was from. But I guess you've got to have that trust as well, haven't you, of having a complete stranger you've not really said much to come and stay in your home while you go and stay in theirs. And it's like, wait. So, yeah, I guess a lot of people are very trusting in that sense. But I don't know. I don't know how it works, but it's fascinating.
It indeed is. It really is. You know, I've done Airbnbs. And I don't like Airbnbs where you take a room in somebody's house. You know, I've done that once, which wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
I do where you rent the entire residence, the entire apartment, the entire condo, the entire home, as the case might be. I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
You know, rent an entire house, you know.
Mm.
I'll do that, but I'm not going to. You know, somebody opens up their back bedroom or something, you know, next to the kids' room, and I'm not gonna do that. You know, you should
Yeah.
I'd rather go hotel.
Yeah. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of just traveling around and staying in different places, literally just within my country alone, because like I said so many times on the show, there's so much I've still yet to see of places, you know, quirky little villages and historic sites and all sorts. And I want to do that at some point.
If you were telling somebody, because obviously you're from UK and you're born and raised, and somebody was traveling to the UK, never been there. And you say, oh, you know, you're having a cup of coffee with somebody, and they're saying, oh, you know, I want to go to the UK. Oh my God, I live there. You know, where would you recommend first time going to the UK? What would it be London, I guess, or what would you say?
Points to London because everybody knows of London. So I think London is usually on everybody's list anyway to go to. Because you ask anybody in the US, name somewhere in the UK, the first place they'll say is London. They can hardly name anywhere else. So it's like, okay, I wouldn't say London personally because of what I've just explained. For me, I would say check out the Cotswolds, which is a vast area of countryside connecting through multiple counties. And the historical sites and places you can visit and have fun, entertainment, everything like you've just described, Andy, is absolutely truly stunning in the Cotswolds. And of course you get tons of visitors every year just come to the Cotswolds alone in the UK because of the types of cottages and historical buildings you have. The architecture is absolutely stunning, and that seems to draw millions of people around the world to come see us. So personally, for me, I would say check that out. it depends what type of person you are. If you're looking for more of a hyper kind of setting, then I would check out cities.
Yes.
For example, London and Birmingham, definitely. Manchester, Liverpool. Liverpool is definitely on the list. I would say high up on the list because of the Beatles. You can go and check out where they performed, you know.
Wow.
There.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, definitely that would be on the top four. I'd say London, Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham. And for the kind of more nature side of things, check out the Cotswolds, definitely. And
well, Amanda.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Where do the Queen live?
The Queen lives in London. She's got the palace, which she stays in some of the time. And when she's there, they fly the British flag to let everybody know she's home. Other than that, she's got Windsor, which is where she stays and lives. And other family members, they're spread out in their own different homes around London or the edges of London too. So, that's what happens with the Queen. You can imagine how disappointed I was when I arrived at the palace and the flag was down and she wasn't home. She invited me to tea. I was absolutely insulted. I was like, what is it? Huh?
Say again? I think we lost them.
What?
Oh. Are you there? Oh,
no,
we lost you. What was that? Yeah.
No, y'all ain't losing me yet. Y'all not going to get rid of me that fast.
What did you say, sweetheart? I didn't catch what you said.
No, I said, I didn't say anything, sis. I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to know where do Dracula live at?
Oh, Dracula. That is in Romania, in a castle there. I'm trying to remember the specific place now, and you can actually visit that castle, and they will tell you all about the history of the supposed character of Dracula. And actually went on. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I know, right? That's something on my bucket list to do because I just think that's just so interesting. And there's a forest, I think, not far from the castle. I don't know how far you have to travel. And some crazy stuff has gone on there, like people's experiences with the weird and unusual. Yeah, lots of stories.
Stuff. That's me and your type of stuff, right, Andy?
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Yeah.
But that'd be cool to do, right?
A couple of years ago, right before COVID, I think I told you this, I was scheduled to go to London for a couple of shows, guitar workshop, which I was going to do in conjunction with a retail chain there called Guitar. And then I was going to go into and had the incredible privilege of being invited to do a recording at Abbey Road, the famed Abbey Road Studios in London. My airfare on American at the time was $365 round trip.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Amazing deal.
Okay.
I got a deal. It wasn't a normal thing. I got to a promotion. But aside from that, okay, so put that aside. It was easily a normal fare, and they refunded that. At first, they weren't going to refund it because at the time, the UK wasn't on the hotspot list of infected areas for COVID, you know. And they said, "No, sorry, we the only thing we do is give you a flight credit. We can't refund it because you know London's not on our list for refunds. You can give you credit, but we're not going to refund." I was like, "Man," so I waited about a year and a half till COVID went all over the place, and they did refund my money. But anyway, but aside from that. The average fare, you could go to London round trip out of Los Angeles, 10.5-hour flight going, about 11.5 hours coming back, for about $500, $495, $520. It's now it's now $1,000 round trip.
Oh, ouch.
The lowest fare I saw was $918, which is still, considering where it came, you know, it's still higher. It's double what it was. Double.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, depending on, you know. But anyway, airfare in general. Now, here's the weird thing. So I can go to London from LAX for, just figure, $1,000, right?
Okay.
Guess how much it costs to go to Philadelphia from LAX? $1,000.
Is that possible?
Tell me about it. Would you please explain that to me?
I mean, I get that the United States is humongous, and it's probably about the – Well, I don't know.
London,
what's the travel
London,
time?
The travel time from LAX to the East Coast is about 5.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And to London, it's 10.5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. Okay. Well, then
and
I
the airfare
understand.
Is about the same. The airfare. I'm gonna look.
That makes no sense. Because obviously, no. I'm being a logical person that I am, would take into consideration that if you're traveling a greater distance, then you've got to pay for the cost of their fuel as well, right? Because they've got to get you there.
The fuel's ridiculous. Yeah, fuel is. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would imagine that's quite a hefty part of the travel situation. And
yeah,
then obviously,
yeah.
You're paying for your, like, your food and stuff on the plane and. I don't know.
What
I don't care. Know what the. I don't know
food,
how they come.
You buy everything.
Charge.
You know. You know. The other interesting thing is, I'm going to do something real here, real quick. Same dates,
yeah.
Okay. I just plugged in a trip to London on 9/13, returning 9/20 for about $1,000. So let's just do Philadelphia,
oh,
just for the hell of it. Let's just do Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Same dates.
It's $999.
Yeah. And 99 cents.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
Here we go, Philadelphia. And let's see what that comes up to. Same dates. Okay, same dates to Philly. Okay, a little less, $900.
Oh. Okay. Wow. Great savings.
They give you a discount. They gave you a discount.
Here we go. Now I got some discount fares rolling in. Here we go. Here we go. Now it's starting to make sense.
Here we go.
Got it now.
Here we go.
You ready?
Oh,
all right.
Now it's 1,020.
Here's a low one. I'd never fly Spirit. Their seats are made of metal. It's like sitting on a metal rack.
Oh my goodness.
It's like being on a bus.
Oh, it's horrible. Delta 298. This is Philadelphia American 367. Spirit 222. Forget them. I won't fly them. 360, unless, you know, money is Spirit, though, you got to pay for a seat. I mean, you have to standing room only. Unless you want a seat, you got to pay extra for that, Spirit. Yeah. We'll get on the plane. We're not going to give you a seat. You'll get on the plane. Oh, you want to sit down? Oh, 200 more.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the Spirit.
So how do they actually break down the cost? For your kit, I mean, what's involved? That are you paying for fuel? Are you paying for the type of seat? Are you paying for your food? Are you paying for some sort? I know you pay for tax for something, right?
Yeah. It's fuel. Mostly it's fuel based, and also salaries are incredible. Airline salaries now are amazing. You know, you're getting captains who've been there for a while, making close to $500,000 a year. You know, they work 12 to 14 days a month. I was a pilot. They didn't pay this when I was flying. Believe me, I probably would have stayed with it. Southwest captains, supposedly Southwest Airlines are the highest paid captains in the country right now. And there's the senior guys and girls who've been, maybe just a little bit of overtime here and there, working 12, 14, maybe 15 days a month. They're making $500,000 a year.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So
I'm
when you board that airliner. When you board that airliner, your flight crew is making a whole lot of money up there on the flight deck. Yeah, they're making a lot of money. I mean, captains are making $400,000. Their base, 300-some thousand. The first officer making about $190,000,
$150,000,
right under. Something else. It really is.
And yet, you've got. I mean, I realize their position of keeping people alive is very important. But then you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You got the responsibility of that with firefighters and doctors and nurses that you can get in half of that.
Yeah, and also your average flight attendant salary. Your average flight attendant is making $64,000.
Wow.
Yeah, $64,000. And I got to tell you, folks, if you're 30 or 40 or even 40, late 40s, mid 40s, late 30s, you can be an airline pilot if you've never flown before. Take your first introductory flight lesson next month. Go through all your ratings. Cost you about $780,000 to do everything from soup to nuts to your commercial and multi-engine instrument, everything you need to get qualified for your airline job. You will get an airline interview after your training and get land yourself a right seat job in a regional jet that'll pay about $66,000 plus a sign-on bonus of X amount to start day one. Helpful health benefits, pension, easy, you know, 14 days a month sliding schedule, $66,000 day one. By the time you're third or fourth year, you'll be making $90,000 or so.
Wow.
And so if you are in your 30s, your 40s, I've even heard stories of low 50s because they are looking for flight crews. A lot of the reasons why we're seeing airlines cancel flights is because they don't have the flight crews to fly them. And very few people now, compared to years ago, are paying for flying lessons because it's so damn expensive over and over your schooling. And you don't even need a college education anymore. You used to need college, not now. You land yourself, you graduate high school, go get all your flight training done, and the deal is you will land an airline job. In your,
wow.
I don't care if you're 30 some years old right now, which seems old to start a career change, and you've never flown before. From your first lesson as a private pilot through your multi-engine and instrument ratings, you will cost you about $80,000 or so right now. And you will land a job after you finish your training, unless you spend some time as a flight instructor, which isn't a bad thing to do for a short period of time, and get your flight instructor training as well. But you will land a job in the right seat of a Canada Air Challenger or an Embraer 175 or 190, whatever it is, in the right seat as a first officer. And you will make $66,000 a year day one, plus I've heard $20,000, $30,000 sign-on bonus after you've been there 1 year. They need pilots. And all of these regional jet airlines, they're gateways to the companies they're affiliated with. In other words, you have American Eagle here, which is the feeder route. They do a lot of the regional flights for American Airlines and smaller jets. These guys, if they put in some time with American Eagle, will graduate to American Airlines and be flying the A320 and the 757s and the 777s, and start making some, you know, as you get up there in age, you'll be making some serious money. Now, mandatory retirement is up to 65 years old right now in the airline business.
Wow.
So, just a little, you know, if you're a parent and you have a kid, or if you have a sibling or somebody you know, they don't know quite what they want to do with their life, get the loan, go to a flight training academy in Florida somewhere where they put you through from you know, a whole airline prep training course. There's schools in Florida that offer that, from private all the way through to what you need to get an airline job, and they guarantee an interview with an airline when you graduate with all your appropriate ratings. And it's a long haul. I mean, you can do it within a year. You can get all your ratings in a year, you know, but you're flying every day, you know, but you can get your ratings in a year. And year two, bam, $66,000 day one, free travel. You know, when you're off, you can fly jump seat or non-rev on your airline or on other airlines in their jump seat. Great travel benefits, obviously, and great you know, benefits. And that's my plug for the airline industry for today.
Okay, nicely done.
Thank you. As opposed to trying to be a focus.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to ask you a question. It's starting to rain on my air balloon. What do I do?
Keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah. It's starting to rain. What should I do? The light went out and the fire went out. What should I do, guys? And I don't have a parachute.
No coordination, no nothing.
Wait for the next big bird to fly by.
It's a disgrace what happened, frankly. A real disgrace.
Goodbye, Cornell, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I've never been in an air balloon. Always wanted to.
Wow. I have no desire to be in anything except a fixed wing airplane. I don't even want to get a helicopter. I don't even want to get anything that's got to beat the air into submission from airborne. You know, like a helicopter is not my thing.
Well,
what
happened to Kobe, I wouldn't get into a helicopter.
My God. That pilot. That's called get there itis. It's a cause of a lot of general aviation accidents. Got to get there. You put that in front of safety of managing the aircraft.
Exactly.
It's called get there itis, you know, and you learn all about that as part of your flight training. You learn all about that.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway. Let's see what happens. There's going to be a lot on tap to talk about next week as we wrap this week up and this show up here on the Andy Demanded program. Again, folks, if you care to get in touch with the show, just send us an email at andythemanjashow@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts and what's on your mind and what you'd like us to talk about. Thoughts, suggestions, comments, questions. If you want to be a guest on the show or know somebody might make an interesting guest that we have on our show, let us know. andythemanjashow@gmail.com. And, of course, you're free to call the show Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays in New York time, 6 to 7 p.m. 515-605-9888. We're here to take your calls and talk about whatever you like to talk about. That's what we do. As you see, we just kick back and talk about whatever. It's a kind of, you know, lighthearted, yes, easygoing show. We kind of talk about some important things that we think needs to be addressed, but for the most part, you know, we're just musicians hanging out, having a conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun.
a lot of fun. So, and a lot of people. It went by real quick, and you know, Republicans do love our show. They really
Republicans
do.
Love it.
They do. Mm-hmm.
Bless them all. Bless
Thank
them all.
You.
I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think she really believed me.
She may have.
Well, the weekend is here, people. It is time to kick back and do.
I told you all about what I'm doing this weekend with the Surfing Champs. What are you going to be doing, man? Anything much?
I am going to be selling some items that I no longer want or need. So, you know, get a bit of extra cash and make some room. And that'll be a lot of fun. And probably just seeing the family, and I've got some work on music to do. I'm actually editing a whole track of multiple songs all together for a wedding. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow, cool. Yeah. Well, you know, you
And you do live very well.
You do. Mm-hmm.
I try, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You made $3.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I am going to say, yes, I do. I'm going to bring that manifestation.
My baby, when you go out with me, money means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's just a fish sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good time.
Yes. Anyway.
So I wish somebody would shut him the fuck up.
That was harsh. Who said that?
Oh, gosh. Well, all right. We're out of here. Folks, I think I'm going to play a song here. It's queued up. I'm not exactly sure what version of it is or where this is recorded live. It says TikTok. It must have been a live show that was on TikTok of me playing the Tommy Tucker classic high heel sneakers. And I think it's a medley Big Boss Man of Andy Kimball. That's me. And we'll finish this show with that. And that way you get to hear Amanda's amazing composition of Highway to Heaven that we played earlier, and my not so amazing composition. It's actually not my composition. My not so amazing composition of what I'm going to play here, because I didn't write it, but it is a good song.
Stop putting yourself down, Mr. Kimball.
Oh man, you know. Oh, I got to tell you, I did a show last night that was so cool. I'm going to put it on. That's what I'm going to do. It was recorded on a phone, but at least it sounds. Yeah, I might even bounce that on the podcast of today's show, because it's a closing songs of a show I did last night that went really, really well, man. It just so that guitar was flying. That guitar was on fire last night. I'm just saying. Sometimes it just that guitar just goes, and I'm sitting there like on autopilot, you know, like whoa, what the
and
hell?
The burn marks on your fingers to prove it.
Yeah, it's like yeah. What the hell? You know, the guitar just goes, bam. And I'm like, it's something else. It really is. Anyway.
Amazing.
So it's fun. So let's hear that tune. It's High Heel Sneakers by Tommy Tucker and Jimmy Reed's Big Boss Man. It's me playing it at a show somewhere that was live streamed. but I'll play it. I don't know what it sounds like because I haven't heard it myself, but we're going to find out. And I want to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Cornell, have a great weekend. Amanda, enjoy. Have a great time. I'll be at the Sprinting Championships in Huntington Beach. And Amanda, get us out of here so we can go enjoy the weekend.
Okay. On behalf of Andy Kimball there in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love here in the UK, Cornell Butler in Delaware, thank you so much for everyone joining us. We love you. Have an amazing weekend and enjoy this music from Andy Kimball. And we will see you on Monday. Take care, everyone. Have a good time.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. I wanna find